The Word of God is from Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verses 6 to verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth, follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, but all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. This is in regards to the sins of the Jews, and it speaks of the fact that there is no difference between the Gentile and the Jew in regards to sin. In verse 6, it says, God will repay each person according to what they have done. And in regards to sin, God shows He is very aware and sensitive in regards to sin towards mankind. It says, God will repay each person according to what they have done. And God speaks to mankind in regards to sin in such a detailed manner, but to nothing else of His creation. Though you may sin and forget about it, but it declares that God looks upon and God does not forget. And in conclusion, at the end, God demands the accounting for every one of our sin. So when we go face God after our death, God will keep an accounting of every sin that you have committed. And mankind may think that they are free, and because they have this freedom, it is up to them to live the life however the way that they want. But God does not abandon nor let us be in such a state. He observes very carefully, though that God has given us a way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But mankind, after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they declare independence from God. And from there on, their life is lived in their understanding of life, thinking that they can live and do as they please. But if you look in the Bible, that is not what the Bible says about mankind. Only mankind, to mankind, Bible speaks of how should a mankind live. It declares that there is punishment for sin, there is penalty for sin. So as long as you live your life in faith that God is your Lord and Master, that you are no longer your own master and Lord, that you would begin to live a life in fear and trembling before the Lord as a servant carries on his duties in light of his master's observation and judgment. So at the end, If you live your life according to the will of the Father, will of God, that there will be reward reserved for you. But if you live your life with an unrepentant heart, there will be a judgment awaiting for you. Then how come such judgment is waiting only for mankind? That God continues to look upon your life, to every details of your life. God is observing and taking a note of every sin, every details of your life. You may have wished that God would sometimes look away from you instead of being so observant of your life. And so you may feel like because of God's eyes upon your life, you may feel like you have no room, no wiggle room in your life. That you complain to God, please leave me alone, let me be. And this kind of questioning and complaint comes from the sin within us. But those who have life within us, the more God looks upon us, the better it is for us. We live because of God's eyes upon us. God's care for us, His eyes upon us, brings us source of encouragement, brings us source of strength for believers. True believers would desire and pray that God's eyes be fixed upon their lives continually. So God looks upon us as a father observes their children. And the way he, and the reason he does that is because of the purpose for which God has created the mankind for. That purpose being, that purpose of creating mankind according to his image and likeness is to reveal his glory in our lives and through our lives. We keep hearing this over and over again, but such is the preciousness of this truth, that we, the mankind, were created to reveal himself through his creation, through us, that he created us according to his image, according to his likeness. God who is invisible, the living God who is invisible, has created us according to his likeness. What a great blessing that is, that we were created according to God's image. The Creator God, among all of God's creation, we are of utmost preciousness, utmost worth and value because of the fact that God created us according to his likeness. Just as a pair of gloves is created for the hand to fit into it. So therefore, the likeness, the form of that glove reflects the shape and form of the hand that fits into that glove. The glove reflects the likeness of that hand. The glove moves according to the movement of that hand that fits into that glove. So it is the hand that does great work. But when people look at the work being done by a hand that has a glove on, oftentimes people mistake the work being done by the glove, not by the hand. They see the glove doing the work. They see the glove moving, but they fail to understand it is actually the hand that fits into that glove that is doing all the work. So such is the preciousness of the mankind. And if you come to faith in and believing in that creation of mankind according to his likeness, you will come to truly understand the preciousness, the worth of your life. And from there on, you will be very careful how you spend your time and your resources here on earth. So then how must you spend the resource and the time that's given to you here on earth? And such are the questions that we must consider if you come to believe that you and I were created according to God's likeness. My time, my strength, how shall we spend in our lives? Whether we have spent it or whether we are spending it according to our own fleshly needs, or whether we are spending our resources and our time for the glory of God. And because we are descendants of Adam, who is our forefather, who sinned against God, where original sin entered in, therefore we are born as descendants of Adam in sin and death, and from there on there is no other pathway except death awaiting at the end of our lives. Whether it is 50 years or 100 years of your lifespan, nobody knows. But all of one thing for sure is that we all are headed towards our grave. So to a life that eventually will end up in a grave, such is so meaningless to pursue after happiness or pursue after wealth or whatever else you can obtain from this earth. At the end, knowing the end is death awaiting every mankind, pursued after such worldly materialistic things is meaningless. What good is wealth? What good is fame and power when all of you will head towards and end up in your death? Then during that short span of life, there is only one way, only one path of life that is truly blessed. And if you receive life, if you receive life, if you move from death to life during that short span of time through faith in Jesus Christ, that is the only blessed way, the only blessed path that you can travel through during your life. For a person born in sin and death and headed towards death, what good is money? And you may say that when you have money, you will spend it for good purposes, but you will soon discover that with time and money, all of your resources will eventually be invested towards sinning. You may think that you will not be such a person, but that's only your thinking. And behind that false thinking, there is no power, there is no truth in that. Because behind that thinking, your will, your determination has no power, has no ability. So with money and with time, the mankind are prone to sin. And that is the consequence and even the evidence of the fallenness of mankind. So we must pause here at this point and see our lives as one that is headed towards death, that there is no real meaning behind wealth and health and power and fame that is offered to you in this life. Then the question is, now you are born here on earth, and while you are traveling your journey on this earth, what one thing must you pursue after? What one thing must you seek after? And the answer is eternal life. And towards that, your strength, your time, your resources must be invested towards that. And such is the existence of mankind, created according to his image and likeness. And if you come to believe in God's design for creating you, you begin living life with thankfulness and understanding and believing in God's purpose for your life, and understand that you have been created with greatest worth and value. And next thing to understand is that God has created mankind from the dust of the earth. Dust meaning it is the field, the soil, where it is intended for the seed to fall upon. The earth, the soil, is something that is so common and seen as something that is worthless But from that soil come so many living things that bears fruit. From the lowliest point, which is the soil, it bears things of the highest value. In all of the universe, in all of the life forms here on earth, soil makes it possible for living things to exist. What good is a soil when you go out to nature and you see soil, the ground? People don't see the value in that. People don't see the worth in that. But the reality is that soil is where the seed can fall and bear all kinds of vegetations and support all kinds of life forms here on earth. That is the nature of the dust. That is the nature of the soil, the earth. And that is what it means that the mankind were created from the dust of the earth. That it may seem worthless, but it is something that has great potential when the seed falls upon it and grows and roots and bears much fruit. And just as a pair of gloves has no use, has no function without the hand fitted into it, but once the hand fits into it, it does great work. And it is the same for the nature of the earth, the nature of the soil. But the Satan comes and focuses on the worthlessness of the soil, and he tempts us. There is no value in that, the way you were created. So therefore, you must find worth and value for yourself. And the Satan attempts us and says, don't remain as soil, but you must make yourselves to be the bricks. And with the bricks that you made, you must build the tower for yourselves. Just as the bricks were first used to build the Tower of Babel. And that points to, that is a picture of the building of the tower of this world, where the mankind that were created for God, that mankind has strayed away from God, and now they are building and making bricks for themselves to make names for themselves. And that is what most of the people here on earth are involved with, making name for themselves and being used by Satan to build the kingdom of this world. And that is not what God had intended for the mankind. And where did that all come from? It came from sin. No one had to teach you to sin. No one had to teach you to lie and steal and be jealous and fight and strife. Where does it all come from? Does it come from your heart? Does it come from your lungs? Other animals have the same body parts, but the other animals don't have sin. But within mankind, there is sin. You cannot see it. We don't know where it comes from, but we know that there is sin within us. And when that sin comes out of your life, your conscience, that God-given conscience, puts guilt in your mind. And that is, beloved, the reality of life. People fail to think beyond just hearing that they are sinners, but they fail to understand and why they are sinners. They fail to understand why the outworking of sin comes out of your life. Where does it come from? Jealousy, lies, and strife that continues to pour out of your life. And our lives are heavy burdened by those display of sin in our lives. We live our lives under those heavy burdens of outworkings of sin. And in the world, nowhere else we find understanding and explanation behind the sin that exudes out of our lives. But in the scriptures, in the Bible, we see that mankind, you and I, were created according to God's image and likeness. We were created to display the glory of God in our lives. But if you observe people around you, what do you see? You do not see the glory of God displayed, but you see the display of satanic likeness in people. So we see that God at the end will judge people according to what they have done. So even now, beloved, the people, even today, are not content with being the soil, but they want to make themselves bricks. They want to see themselves as bricks. They want to be, they seek success. They want to be number one. They want to be the master over their own lives. But such are not the people that God looks for, because God is the farmer. As a farmer, he is seeking and looking for the good soil for him to spread the soil, spread the seed. But Satan is looking for those who are making bricks for themselves. So which category of people are you? Are you remaining as the soil that God has intended? Or are you making bricks of yourselves to make name for yourselves? How do you pray for your children? Do you pray for your children that they would make and become like the bricks that they may be used to build the kingdom of this world? Or do you pray that they will remain as the soil, the good soil that God has intended them to be? So little by little, if you discover how God has created you, you become aware of the fact that you are a sinner before God. And after realizing, coming to know the sinfulness of your heart, then you will walk towards the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's where salvation begins. Begins at the cross of Jesus Christ. And when you, at the cross of Jesus, you see your sinfulness and you see the death of yourself on the cross of Jesus, that's when God begins to spread the seed upon your life. When your life has become like the good soil, where it is ready to receive the seed that is spread by the farmer, God himself. A natural man, the earthly man, does not seek to be the fertile soil, but they seek to be the hardened brick. Beloved, God has come to this earth to seek and save the lost, to seek and save the sinners, to seek and save the people who are like the good soil. He did not come to seek those who are like the bricks, who are of the hardened hearts. So when your heart becomes like the good soil, soft soil, fertile soil, that is a condition of the heart where it is ready to receive the seed of Jesus Christ. I do not intend to tell you that you must always be poor, always be in trouble, always be suffering, always in a lowly and in a poor condition. But what I'm telling you is that you must be in a state of being where you see the lowliness of your life, the lowliness of your condition, the sinfulness of your condition. Otherwise, you'll be like the rest of the people here on earth, like Adam and Eve after they sinned. So God is in the works to make you like a child. Before Adam and sin, they were naked, they were not ashamed. And God is interested in unclothing all your outer coverings. And so you hear the gospel, you hear these truths, but somehow you find that these truths are not a reality in your life. So you continue to live your life seeking after the glory and the power and the money and the materialistic things of this life. Beloved, are you unlearned? Are you uneducated? Are you poor? Are you ridiculed by people? Are you debased? and made fun of by the people of this world, know that you are in a blessed state because such are the people that Christ has come to seek and save. Do you seek to have religion or do you seek to have Jesus Christ? Do you seek to hold on to the religion of Christianity, or do you seek to hold on to the person of Jesus Christ? The answer is you must receive and hold on to the person of Jesus Christ. The problem, beloved, is your religiosity, your training in religion. That is the problem. In religion, you do all the works that has already been accomplished by Jesus Christ. And you see your activities and you see your observances of the law as faith. But that is not true. For example, in Christian church, we teach that you must pray. And so some people come early in the morning to church and they pray fervently, they pray hard. But oftentimes such prayers that they offer so fervently, so diligently, are in vain. So they're taught to pray, so they pray, but they fail to pray in a manner and for things that God seeks them to pray for. So Jesus Christ says, do not pray like the Gentiles, but pray in such a way, pray and seek first for the kingdom of God. So do you, when you pray so often, so fervently, do you pray for the kingdom of God first? And I find and I see that mistake that I myself made in my early years, that I will fervently pray that God would make me the renowned pastor, that God would give me strength and boldness to do miraculous works. All these prayers are prayer prayed by a person who is like a pair of gloves, and I'm praying such a prayer, asking God to make me to be able to do things like the hand itself. What good is power without Christ? So the question is, would you choose religion or the person of Jesus Christ? It may sound simple, but within that question is found significant meaning behind those questions. So Jesus Christ says, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He is speaking to those who are trapped in their religious life. And in that kind of religious life, Satan continues to be the master of your own life. So beloved, as you live your life as one created by God, according to His image, according to His likeness, how have you lived your life? Have you lived your lives displaying the glory of God or displaying the likeness of the devil? So it says God will repay each person according to what they have done. It is not speaking of your doing according to the law. In the original text, it refers not only to the outer doings, but it is also pointing to the inner man, the inner heart. So when it says God will repay each person according to what they have done, it refers to the inner self, the inner heart that matches the outer works. So this is the standard by which God will judge you. So the standard of God's judgment is by what you have done, meaning your heart and the resulting works. It's speaking of what is in your heart and what have you done with the heart that you have. Beloved, it is possible for you to do all kinds of good works without faith, without the good heart. And such good works has nothing to do with eternal life. Yes, it does some good to the world in a temporary sense, but such good works has no bearing on your eternal state, eternal life. So to many other religious leaders, religious people, like Buddha or Confucius, you can do good works. You can be a good businessman. You can be a good benefactor apart from having a good heart. But turning this around, yes, you can have faith, but you may fail to live a life that bears much fruit. And for such person, there is no reward reserved for them, such as the thief on the cross who looked upon Jesus and received faith and was saved. That thief had salvation, but no reward for him. So when it says that God will repay each person according to what they have done, it points to the inner dwelling faith and the resulting works. So the judgment of God is based upon your heart, your faith, what's in your heart, whether faith is found in you, and the resulting works. That God will repay each person, it says. I read in a newspaper a long time ago where it speaks about in science that in the airwaves there are frequencies of voices that can be captured, just as today that in the airwaves there are many frequencies that just traveling in the air, that we have devices to capture those frequencies in the air, and we are able to capture them into voices, words that can be understood. And we have such devices where it captures certain communication frequencies and waves in the air and converts it into a written form of communication. And in the Bible, we see the judgment of God is based upon the all of the world history, all of the testimony of God's people. Beloved, mankind are different than any other creation. Mankind are the centerpiece of God's creation, and there is great worth in the way that mankind was created. Mankind are the ones that were created with the utmost worth and value, created according to His image, according to His likeness, but being deceived by Satan, the mankind partner with Satan to build themselves' own kingdom. And from there on, the mankind has lost its original value, original worth. And we see the loss in the value, the significance, the worth of mankind. And by looking at what we see in other people, even in the people of, even in the people who are occupying the most powerful offices in the land, such as the president, oftentimes even looking at such people with great power, we're often turned off by such people. We don't see great worth in such people. It is all because of the fallenness of mankind. But God looks upon inside, not on the outside. He does not look at your education, your riches, but He looks upon inside of you to see if Jesus Christ is within you. If Jesus Christ is within you, then the glory of God is revealed and God's name is lifted on high. And where does the pair of gloves find its value? It is in the hand that is fitted into it. It is a hand that is doing the works. So when a pair of gloves is fitted onto a hand, that's when it truly begins to fulfill its design, truly begins to display the glory of what is inside. And it is the same for the mankind. If Jesus Christ is not dwelling within you, all you are is a living being that is slowly dying. All you are is a being that's already born dead, headed towards your grave. And it is all based on whether Christ is living in you. Even a person of most ignorant background with no education, not being able to even write their own names. But if Christ is within them, we experience such wisdom, we experience such power, such wisdom coming from a person who has Christ within them, and that displays the glory of God. So the worth and the glory of mankind is found in having the person of Jesus Christ within you. It's found, is displayed when you become a new creation. Once Christ enters into you, you die, and Christ begins to live in you. And so when Adam and Eve departed straight away from God, they have become God's creation who have lost their original purpose. So you go ask the most learned people in universities, what is the purpose of your life? See if they can give you a sure answer. Why must you live? If you ask, worldly scholars will not be able to give you an answer. But even if one is unlearned, ignorant, but have Christ within them, and you ask such a believer, they will be able to give you a sure answer why they live. They will tell you they live for God's glory. They will tell you that their purpose in life is to have Christ within them and display the glory of God through their lives. They will tell you that Creator God is the one that created them, that Creator God is the one that saved them through the cross of Jesus Christ, Christ who is the source of all wisdom, all strength, and all power. And how glorious is such a life? So true believers will be able to give a sure answer to life's questions. After eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what resulted was shame. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, but they weren't successful and they were hiding. And that's the nature of mankind. We live our lives in fear and shame. And that is why when you have to stand in front of people, when you have to meet others, strangers, there is uneasiness, there is nervousness. It is all because of your fear of being exposed, your life based on shame and fear. And you try hard to be successful at whatever you're doing, and you use that success to cover your insecurities, your shamefulness within inside. So when a question is asked why you live your life, what is the purpose of life, instead of answering those questions, all they can offer you is what they have done to be successful. But they cannot answer the true life questions. And because they don't have Christ, they have nothing to offer that answers the questions of life. After eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that is the nature of mankind's life lived in shame and fear. And if you depart from God's original design of creating you, even after attaining all these things of this world, you come to realize that life is in vain. Solomon was such a man who lived in the palace of gold, but at the end, his conclusion was that life is vanity after vanity. He questions, what is the happiness of life? He says it's in death. If not that, what is true happiness? Is to die early, Solomon says. So he speaks of the vanity of life, but he is also the one who wrote Song of Songs after encountering Christ, and he sees the beauty of life after meeting Christ, after being one with God, and he experiences the beauty of life. So he writes Song of Songs. So after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, from the position of being the ruler and the one who subdues all of the creation, being able to control and rule and subdue, rule over all of God's creation, man's position now has turned into one that is subdued, that is ruled over, that is controlled by things around them, by people around them. There are so many people, so many things that we are enslaved to, that we are controlled by. That is not the way God had created mankind. God created mankind and said, rule over all of his creation and subdue it. But now, you look upon man's life, we are ruled and reigned over by the opinions of other people, by the things of our lives. And such is the tragedy of mankind that was created at the first importance in God's creation, but we have fallen into such a debased state, to mankind that has fallen into such a tragic state, who has declared their rebellion against God. God looked upon us with mercy and sent his Son Jesus Christ and made a way for us to be recreated. So you may say that I'm still living, how can I be recreated? But in Christ you have been recreated. In Adam, all you are is a person with sin inside that exudes sin. But in Christ, just as Christ died and rose again, in Christ you will die and rise again as a new creation, not according to your works, but according to your faith, according to your new spiritual eyes coming from faith. And when that happens, then the truth of the gospel will become a reality. Though you have done no works, though your life, and though you find still sin in your life, but when you put your faith in the Son of God who came and died and rose again, and you find yourself being embraced by Christ, being one with Christ, you go through death and resurrection, and you experience the removal of your sin from your life, just as east is from the west. That becomes a reality in your life through faith given by God. And from there on, you live your life in freedom with such faith, regardless of how sinful you are, regardless of what sin you commit. From there on, you find your salvation, you find your freedom in what Christ has done on the cross. And at the end, Jesus Christ declared, "It is finished." And that is where we find our strength, where we find our rest. And when our spiritual eyes are open to what happened at the cross of Jesus Christ, you come to truly believe that in Christ you have been crucified. In Christ you are now created as new creation. And so when that truth becomes a reality in your life, that is when you know that faith has entered in. That is where you find your eternal rest. And for that you were created for. And if you don't have that faith, one thing remains for you to pursue throughout your lifetime, which is to seek and request the Lord for that faith. And that is what our main text says this morning: to those who by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. So this is for those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. He will give eternal life. In the past, you did not pray such a prayer. Seeking glory, honor, and immortality, is that something that is found here on earth? No, that is something given by God. That these things have been made available for those who are born again, the glory, honor, and immortality. In verse 8 it says, But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. So for those who are self-seeking and reject the truth, have become one with the world, those who reject the truth and involved in self-seeking, they become one with the world. If you become a leader of a nation, one of the jobs of a leader of a nation is to unify the nation, is to have the influence over the whole nation instead of dividing up the nation. And that's the nature of sin. The nature of sin is to separate. Nature of sin is to go out and make their own factions instead of being united with God, instead of being with God. The nature of sin is always to divide and separate. The nature of sin is always to strive and fight one party against another party, one group against the group, another group. And that's the nature of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, to separate, to divide, to strive. In verse 9 and 10, it says, there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So the trouble and the distress is coming from the outside. So there is trouble and distress that come. So the troubles come from outside and the distress come from within. In Romans chapter 7, we see that Apostle Paul speaks of himself as a wretched man. What a wretched man I am, he says, who will rescue me? Once again, he repeats the same thing. It says, but for those who are self-seeking, who are rejected truth, from follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Verse 9, there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Verse 11, for God does not show favoritism. In other words, he does not look upon outside. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. All who sin apart from the law will also perish from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. So before the law, the one who hears the law is not the one who is righteous, but it is the one who keeps the law. So the Jews will persecute the Gentiles. So he says, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. And that is a problem for us as well, beloved. We stop at just hearing and knowing the truth. And from our knowledge, we judge others, even though within our own hearts, we are breaking the law. And that is what Apostle Paul is saying here. Don't be prideful out of a mere knowledge of the truth when there is no obedience to the truth. And in verse 14, he goes on to say, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness. and their thoughts, sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. Even the people of this world, they know stealing is wrong because they have conscience. Even though they don't believe in Christ, they have the conscience placed into their hearts. They do not have to believe in Christ. They know what is right and wrong. They know killing others is wrong because of the conscience within them. Though the Gentiles did not have the law, but because of their conscience, they themselves became a law to themselves. And if they live according to their conscience, then it says they are better than the Jew, who though have the law, but are living their lives breaking the law. But the truth is, just as the Gentiles, Jews could not keep the law. And so, whether you are a Gentile or a Jew, no one can keep the law of God. The last verse, this will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is, according to my gospel, he says. And what is Apostle Paul's gospel? It is the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, you cannot keep the law, and the answer is found in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if one does not believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then on the last day, on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, his judgment will come upon them. So if you have the gospel, you find your righteousness in Jesus Christ. And that is the new covenant. On top of the Ten Commandments, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Jesus knew that people cannot keep the law. For him to say, I give you a new commandment, it is to say that he is giving himself to us, his life, his death, and resurrection. And through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. So what period are we living in? We are living in a period where we have the new life of Christ offered unto us. That through the cross of Jesus Christ, he made the new creation to be possible in our lives. And I pray that you will come to a point where you can believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ in your spirit. And if you can truly believe, then you will come to know that your sins has been cleansed, that his death has become your death. And even with that faith you live on, there are times when you'll be tempted to go back to your old ways. But you must go back to the cross of Jesus Christ, what he has done for you. You must hear and be guided by the Spirit of Christ within you, that through the cross of Jesus Christ, he has finished his work of salvation. And I pray that your spiritual eyes will be open and come to believe through faith that you have been made one with Christ. Let us pray. Father, we have reflected upon your word this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within our hearts, that these truths will be a reality in our lives, that you would open our spiritual eyes, that you would cause us, Lord, to stop viewing this our life circumstances through our flesh, but I pray that you would cause us to look upon our life circumstances through faith, that help us, Lord, to live as a new creation of God. In Jesus' name we pray.